I am Khan Oxelson. I am 33 years old, and I'm an adoptee from Vietnam and who grew up in the United States.
When did you come to America?
I came to America in 1972, in September of 1972. I was 10 months old, and in Vietnam, I was actually taken to the orphanage the day after I was born, so spent the first 10 months of my life in Vietnam and then was adopted. Wonderful set of parents who actually lived in Minnesota at the time. They decided they wanted to have more kids, but they thought one of the best ways to expand their family was to adopt a child from overseas. And so I came to them when they lived in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I lived there for the first year of my life in the United States. And then when I was about 2 years old, our family moved to California, which is where I grew up.
Tell me about your childhood.
Wow, there's so much to say. It was, I knew I was adopted because I looked so much different than my sisters and my parents. Being half black and half Vietnamese, but growing up in a white family was difficult at times. I mean, it could be kind of confusing, and kids are always trying to find out who they are and discover who they are, and that was difficult for me because I felt like I belonged to so many different cultural groups that sometimes it was difficult to find my own way. But fortunately, my parents were very proactive and they tried to get me involved in lots of different things, athletics, music, all so that I could build self-esteem by being successful in different ways, and that helped a lot. That helped a lot.
As far as you remember, you said you didn't, you felt like you didn't fit in, and you started acting out.
Right. Well, I think, I think sometimes kids act out for different reasons. For me, I think I was just struggling to find my place and discover an identity. And, I got involved in some things I probably shouldn't have, just little things that a lot of kids do, I think. But, shoplifting or, just things that you shouldn't really be doing, but that sometimes kids get involved in. And, I also think that, like I was saying before, my parents really wanted me to get involved in other things, and so I became a swimmer actually, and I started swimming competitively when I was about 6 years old, and that helped a lot because it made me feel like I was good at something. I didn't have to say that I was black or Asian or white. I could actually just say I'm an athlete, I'm a swimmer, and it was a way for me to build some self-esteem, which was very, very helpful as a child.
So it seems like as a child you went through a kind of identity crisis, and then what's the connection? You acted out, you shoplifted, and how did they connect it together?
Well, it's hard to know for sure. I think I was probably like a lot of kids. It was my way of crying out for some attention, maybe. I think that's probably what was happening. I mean, I'm not a psychologist, so it's hard for me to know for sure, but I get the feeling that it was more about crying out for some attention than anything else.
Did you try to find, have you ever tried to find your birth family?
I've thought about that a lot, and I think when I graduated from college and I got my first job after college, I can remember one day I read a newspaper story about a kid who had decided to look for his parents, and it got me thinking about it a little bit more. And I had never really thought about it before, but I know that I was no longer swimming anymore, so I couldn't say, oh, I'm an athlete, I'm a swimmer. I had to really kind of figure out who I was. And I decided to do a little investigating, and I thought, well, maybe I should go back to Vietnam. Maybe I should go and try and discover more about Vietnamese culture. And maybe while I'm in Vietnam, I'll find out some more information about my birth parents. So it took me a few years to get to that point where I actually went. And in 1998, which is about 5 years after I first thought about it, but in 1998 I went back to Vietnam and I actually took my adoptive parents and my two sisters with me. And we actually found the orphanage where I'd come from and actually met two of the nuns who had taken care of me as a baby, which, as you might imagine, was just an absolutely amazing, amazing experience. To find people who knew you as a child, who knew you as a baby, because there were no pictures, I had nothing really. And so it was a really, a truly profound experience, meeting the nuns who had taken care of me, who knew me as a baby, and walking around the orphanage where I had spent the first 10 months of my life. I walked around the city of Da Nang a lot as well, and I remember thinking to myself, this is where my mother is from, and she's probably walked these same streets. It's very possible that she's still alive and still walking these streets. So that was a very, it was just an amazing experience for me. It was also nice to take my parents and my family with me, because I think they knew that I had lots of questions about being adopted and what it might be like to know my birth parents. But I don't know that there was anything they could do about it. And so it was wonderful to have them there with me, because I was afraid I would go on this trip and then I would come home and I would have to try and describe it to them. And instead, I wanted them to be there and see it as I was going through it. So it certainly brought my family closer together and me closer to them. It was also helpful, I think, for friends of my parents. A lot of them had husbands who had fought in Vietnam, and so it was the first time they knew anybody who was going back to Vietnam. And that was difficult for some of them, but I think it was also cleansing for some of them to know someone who was actually going back to Vietnam to take a look around. It was certainly wonderful for the nuns, too, because I think after these kids leave, they don't really know what happens to them. Sometimes they get letters, but for a long time, they didn't get mail about kids and how they were doing in the United States. So for them, it was really interesting and fun to see how these kids can turn out. And the sacrifices that these nuns made, they actually got to see kind of the fruits of their labor. It was a special experience for almost everybody involved. It really was.
So as far as I remember, you are not Operation Baby Lift baby, right?
Correct. I actually came and left Vietnam just before the Baby Lift started. So I was just a few years before that. Well, the way it was explained to me by the nuns was that I was born on November 1st, 1971, and my mother had decided she couldn't keep me and brought me to the orphanage the day after I was born. They have very little information about her. They knew that she worked in a United States Army camp in Da Nang and that she had grown up in the countryside and come to the city looking for work, but that's really all they knew. As it's been explained to me, I think, and especially since I've been back to Vietnam, I have a better understanding of the culture and why she might have needed to give me up. She might not have wanted to, but she might have felt like it was my best opportunity for survival. Being that I was half black and half Vietnamese, I don't know that it would have been very easy growing up in Vietnam either. Probably not the same as trying to grow up in the United States half black and half Vietnamese, but not easy. And I believe that she had to give me up for adoption, and that it was a difficult decision for her. But who knows? I don't know for sure what the circumstances were.
The mic should be like 90 degrees. Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great. Thank
okay.
you. So have you ever tried to find your father?
I haven't tried to find my father. I hadn't really thought about that a lot, which is interesting because my features, my facial features, my physical features are probably, they seem like they would be more like my father's than my mother's. I remember one time I actually went on the Oprah Winfrey Show and I was talking about my experience of growing up adopted in the United States. And a friend of mine said to me, you know, have you ever thought that your father might actually have seen the show? And I hadn't really thought about that, but I also realized that he might not really even know that I exist. It's very possible that His relationship with my mother was very short, and he might not even have known that she was pregnant. So I don't know that he would ever look for me, but I've thought about trying to look for him. It's just that I don't have any information about him. And I would have to rely on, I don't know, posting something on the web or something and hoping that he happened to see it. But the chances of that aren't very good. I think my chances of finding my birth mother are probably a little better.
Really? Wow, interesting. So what about, you said because of you're adopted, you kind of keep distance from other people, including your adoptive parents, and the situation has become better, but could you...
Yeah, I think... sometimes when you don't feel like anyone you know shares the same background or experiences that you do, it's not uncommon to keep a little bit of a distance. I think that's part of it. But I also think that being adopted, it's not uncommon to keep a little bit of a distance from people who are close to you. I guess my feeling was if my own birth mother could give me up for adoption, then that meant that anybody could leave me or no longer want to be a part of my life. And so to defend against that possibility, I think sometimes I've tended to keep people at arm's distance. Even people I'm supposed to be very close with, my own sisters, my parents, girlfriends, other friends. I think for a long time I would keep those people at arm's distance. Just so I didn't want to give them a chance to leave me so that, you know, I wouldn't get hurt in that way. I don't think that's uncommon for adoptees, and some adoptees get over that earlier than others, but it's taken me a while to get over that. And I think now I'm 33 years old, and I think I don't have, it's still something I think about, but I think I've had much better success in building relationships with all kinds of people. So it's gotten a lot better.
So what made you to overcome that kind of problems?
Well, I think part of it was probably returning to Vietnam and really understanding the circumstances of why I was given up and how I was adopted. That was a whole chapter of my life that I didn't know much about. I hadn't asked a lot of questions about it, of my adoptive parents, and I just didn't know a lot about it, so it was almost like an empty chapter. And once I went back to Vietnam, that started to fill in some of the empty parts of my life. And, you know, I guess I just felt more comfortable about myself or with myself. I felt more comfortable in my own skin. I felt comfortable, more comfortable being Asian and being Black. So once I became more whole, I think it was a lot easier for me to take the risk to build relationships with people. My self-esteem grew, and I just felt more comfortable, you know, making myself more vulnerable. And I also realized, I began to realize that the rewards were worth it, that having relationships with people that you really cared for and that you could depend on to be there for you, having relationships with people who would love you unconditionally, it was worth the risk of putting yourself out there. And it took me a long time to get to that point. But happily, I feel like I'm just about there.
Yeah. I still do not understand how you make connections, you know, returning to Vietnam, have to understand about who you are and then, you know, all kind of things. So you now can... you are able to connect to other people, but I still do not understand. How could you explain a little bit more in detail?
How the return to Vietnam helped me connect to other people?
Yeah,
or?
Open yourself to other people, and you accepted yourself as African American and Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's...
I cannot understand, you know, how... that's great, but I just want to see the connection.
Right, right. What's the best way to describe it? I think if there are parts about yourself that you're not comfortable with or you don't know about, I think it makes it more difficult to put yourself out there because It's almost like you're not a whole person yet. You're still missing things, and you don't understand things about yourself. And so I'm going to think of another way to explain this. Here's the thing. I think if you are not comfortable with yourself, then it makes it very difficult to put yourself out there because of the possibility of being rejected. So if you don't like or don't understand or don't know enough about yourself, it becomes difficult, becomes a major risk to put yourself out there because someone could easily just say, I don't like you, or you're not enough like me that I want to spend time with you. And so going back to Vietnam helped me understand more about myself, more about how I became who I am today. I have a much better understanding of Vietnamese culture and what that means. And so I had never really acknowledged that I was half Vietnamese. I mean, when I walk down the street, people see me as a black man. They don't really see me as a Vietnamese man. And so it was never something I really thought about. I always thought about being black and living in a white world, whereas I'm actually black and Vietnamese, and I needed to understand what it meant to me to be half Vietnamese. And so going to Vietnam opened a whole culture and world to me that I hadn't really investigated. And so not only am I Vietnamese, but I'm proud of it. I celebrate it now in a way that I never did before. So I had been missing a huge part of myself, and you know, it was a part of myself that I wasn't really comfortable with. I didn't know anything about Vietnamese culture. And so now I'm just much more comfortable with myself. And it's much easier then to build relationships with people and, you know, have successful and loving relationships, I guess. I just think it's a little easier now.
That's great. So. And what about, it seems like you understood why you adopted.
Why I was adopted? Well, actually, my parents, my father was actually in graduate school during the Vietnam War, so he was in school and didn't actually go to Vietnam in the service. So he and my mom were kind of children of the 60s, and they felt like it was important if they were going to have kids, they were going to have two biologically to kind of reproduce themselves, and then any more kids they were going to have, they were going to adopt. And that's kind of how they viewed building a family. And at the time, there were a lot of anti-war protests going on in St. Paul, Minnesota. There were a lot of families who felt like we have to do something about this. And at the time, there were also a lot of Vietnamese children coming to the United States for surgeries, and then they would go back to Vietnam. And I can remember when my parents, about the time they were thinking of adopting, someone said to them, you know, there are a lot of kids who come to the United States for surgery and then return to Vietnam, but some kids, it would be great if they could stay. And have you ever considered adopting? And they said, yeah, we've definitely considered it, and we would be more than interested in actually investigating the idea of adopting a child from Vietnam. And, you know, my mom tells some great stories about waiting and waiting and waiting, and they had finally heard that they were going to receive a child, and then they waited several months before they finally heard that I was coming. And in fact, they only found out about a week before I arrived. They got a letter in the mail saying he is on the way, and you know, you can pick him up in a week at the airport. So yeah, I have some very, very special parents. They have never been concerned about me wanting to find more information about my biological parents. They've always been very supportive. When I first decided I was going to return to Vietnam, I knew it was going to be expensive, and I didn't have that kind of money at the time. And I remember my mom saying to me, well, we've been saving money since you were a baby, just in case you might want to go. And I was shocked. I kept thinking, wow, that's a loving family. I mean, that's amazing that parents would have been saving money since I was a child just in case I might want to go back to Vietnam. And then I remember thinking, well, I can't do this by myself. This is going to be too emotional. I need some support when I'm going to do this, and I really want my family to be there while I'm going through all of this emotional roller coaster of returning to Vietnam. And they said, well, we have the money, we can take everybody, we'll all go. And I was absolutely amazed. It was the most, I thought, loving thing my parents had ever done for me, besides adopting me. I mean, they weren't concerned or nervous or, well, they were nervous, but they weren't jealous at all that I was thinking about trying to find more information about my birth parents. They were so supportive of that. And I know a lot of other adoptees whose parents, they get a little nervous about that. They feel like, well, maybe my child loves, what if he loves his biological parents more than he loves his adoptive parents? And my parents never once said anything about that. They were so supportive and excited that I was interested in going. And then they were surprised and touched that I wanted them to go. I think they've always known me as kind of a, not a loner, because I have plenty of friends. It's just that I prefer to be very independent, and I do spend a lot of time on my own doing my own things. And I think they were just surprised that I would want to take somebody with me on such a large and a huge experience, such a big trip. So I think it really brought us all closer together. They got to see me in ways that they had never seen me before, emotional in ways that they had never seen before. I talked about things about growing up half black and half Vietnamese in a white family. I talked about that in a way that they had never heard me talk before. So they learned so much about me, I think, as well. And it wasn't just growing up half black, half Vietnamese in a white family. I grew up in the Central Valley of California, which is heavily Hispanic. And so it was a whole nother cultural experience growing up there just north of Fresno, actually in the Fresno area. So as you can imagine, it could be awfully confusing at times. And so it was great to have parents who paid attention to that and wanted to make sure that I got what I needed to become a healthy, healthy child and a healthy young adult.
Why is it so hard for you to grow up among the Hispanic population?
Well, it wasn't necessarily that it was among the Hispanic population. It was just that there was, I liked the idea of growing up in a heavily Hispanic area. I actually liked it. I mean, I'm the only one in my family that doesn't speak Spanish. My mom is Irish and my dad is Swedish, and yet they all speak Spanish. They've always invited culture into our home. For years growing up, we had exchange students who lived with us from Brazil and Sweden and Morocco and all kinds of places. So they were very into culture, even when I was a child. But it was certainly very interesting growing up in the Fresno area just because the Hispanic culture was so prevalent there. But I liked it. I thought it was great.
So did you find out why your birth parents left you? Or what do you think about them now?
Well, I want to believe that my mother and father had a very loving relationship and that they wanted to be together. And I've heard stories of servicemen marrying Vietnamese women and trying to bring them back to the United States and either not being able to, or some of them were able to. And I want to believe that my parents had that kind of relationship, but I also understand that it could have been a completely different relationship. The more I understand about the Vietnam War and all that was going on there at the time, I realized that it's possible their relationship was nothing like that. It's possible that my mother worked as a prostitute. I have to understand that that's a real possibility. I don't know that that's super important, though. I'm not sure that that's the most important thing. I think the most important thing is that she gave me an opportunity to have what she might have considered a better life. If I was full Vietnamese, it would have been different growing up in Vietnam. But growing up half black and half Vietnamese, I'm not sure that would have been very easy. And I don't know that for sure, but I've talked to a number of people who grew up in Vietnam, and they admit that it probably would not have been easy. I would have been a difficult reminder of the war to a lot of people there. So, you know, I also know that it's possible my mother may have given me up because she was embarrassed that she had me, or that I was half black. But the bottom line is she gave me an opportunity to have a better life. And I guess I prefer to think of it that way. Yeah.
So now in America, how do you balance between different worlds? You know, you are half African American, you are half Vietnamese, and you live in America.
Well, that's a great question, because I think, as I was saying earlier, when I walk down the street, people see a black man. They also know that I might be mixed, and a lot of people say, "Oh, are you? You must be mixed. You look like you're mixed." But most people see a black man. But I grew up in a house that has very European American culture and tradition, Swedish and Irish cultures and traditions. I think we often struggle with who we are and who other people think we are, or who we want to be and who other people want us to be. And it's a constant pushing and pulling. We all try to seek out an identity. And I can remember, I had mostly white friends growing up, mostly white and Hispanic friends growing up, because there weren't a lot of black kids at my school, and there really weren't that many Asian kids at my school. So I had to find a way to fit in. And as it turns out, I was a very, very good swimmer, and I just happened to get involved in swimming. My parents had signed up both of my sisters and myself in swimming, and it was really more of a thing that we did as a family, so that we could go to swim meets on the weekends together and those types of things. But it turned out that all the kids in our family were very, very good swimmers, and I was especially good. And if I hadn't been a very good swimmer, I think my childhood would have been even more difficult. And as it was difficult because I can remember a lot of my black friends, or some of my black friends at school, would say, you know, you're just trying to be white, because swimming is what white kids do. You know, black kids play basketball, white kids swim, and so you're just trying to be white. And, you know, I can remember my white friends thinking that I wasn't white enough to hang out with them, and my black friends thinking I wasn't black enough to hang out with them. And so swimming was the thing that saved me, because I could just say, well, I'm not black, I'm not white, I'm not really Asian, I'm a swimmer, and I'm a good one. And I think the great success that I had as a swimmer was really what saved me.
So it seems like my impression is you are not really connected to a Vietnamese community or Asian community in America. So what's the situation now? Do you have any interactions with them?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because when I came back from Vietnam, that's when I really did start to make connections with the Vietnamese community. I remember when I was in college, and I went to college in San Francisco, and there's a huge Asian community in San Francisco. But I remember I went to my first Vietnamese American club meeting at school in college, and I can remember everybody looking at me like, what is he doing here? He's not Vietnamese. And it came as a surprise to people in the room that I was actually half Vietnamese, but still, they only saw me as a black man. And so it was very difficult. I never felt accepted by the Vietnamese community in college. Now, I also think that some of that was my own doing, that I didn't know enough about Vietnamese culture to really be comfortable with the customs and the culture of Vietnam. I didn't really understand it very well. But going to Vietnam kind of turned that around, and I began, it was a great introduction to Vietnamese culture. And so when I returned, when I came back to the United States, I actually went to a reunion of adoptees from Vietnam. It was in Colorado in actually the summer of 2000. And I remember just walking into the room with hundreds of other adoptees from Vietnam, some who were half black and half Vietnamese, just like me, and others who, and all of us were adopted from Vietnam, and all of us had grown up in white families. And so you didn't even have to say anything to anyone. You just knew that you all had very similar experiences. And the pain of growing up biracial and in white families, some of the pain that we had all experienced you just knew, and you could give someone a hug, and it was like a big support group, and it was a great experience of finally meeting people who had the same experience I did, both the good stuff and the bad stuff. So that really kind of opened my eyes to a brand new community, and I spend a lot of time now in Southern California with other Vietnamese adoptees, and we get together, you know, once a month, a couple of times a month for dinner or for to celebrate one of our birthdays or things, and just to kind of check in with each other and see how we're doing. And after that reunion in Colorado, I got together with a bunch of other adoptees, and we formed something called the Vietnamese Adoptee Network. And there's a website now, and it's basically a support group for Vietnamese adoptees, both young and old, because there are still children from Vietnam being adopted. And there are a lot of families who are adopting kids who need some help understanding the issues that these adoptees will face. And so they can log on to this website and learn more and come to some of the different conferences that we have and the different meetings that we have. So it's been a great experience being in on the ground level of such an amazing organization that's going to help adoptees in the future as well. Not just the adult adoptees, but those who are newly adopted.
Do you have any words to young adoptees? It seems like you said you had children. I remember volunteer, but
yeah.
Also, you know, a lot of young adoptees from Vietnam or other Asian countries.
Yeah.
And since you have adult adoptee, I think you must have some advice.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that because I have two kids in that I counsel here at this high school that are both adopted and transracially adopted, and the advice I usually give them is that they don't need to be in a rush to figure these things out. They should take their time. It took me, I was 22 or 3 years old before I first started thinking maybe I want to go back to Vietnam. And I'm 33 now, and I'm still thinking and discovering new things about having been adopted and growing up in the United States. So just not to rush it. That's my advice to them, not to rush it, to take their time, and they'll figure things out on their own. It's not easy to dig down deep and understand all the different parts of you. It's not an easy thing to do, but with that great work comes great reward, great benefits. Yeah, it's been difficult work. I mean, I finally decided, you know what, I can't do this on my own. I'm going to need to talk to a counselor. And I know sometimes people think, oh, you only talk to a counselor when there's something wrong or when you really need a lot of help. But I just think it's good for everyone to have someone to talk with openly and honestly about all the deepest, darkest things that are stirring inside you. And so I think I'd advise people to take their time and, you know, it's okay to sit down and talk to a counselor about it. It really helped me.
Do you have anything you'd like to say? We are done, actually.
Oh, okay. To say anything I want to say. Wow. Well, I will say, and I think I mentioned this before, I certainly feel awfully blessed. Partially because of the family that I have, but partially because of the experience I had in going back to Vietnam. It was right out of a movie. It was so amazing. It's still difficult to describe, and this happened, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, but it's still difficult for me to describe and get a handle on it because it was so profound. I mean, it was right out of a movie. It was perfect. You know, going with your adoptive family, returning to your homeland, finding the orphanage, meeting two people who had raised you as a baby. And then when I came back, it became the catalyst for a lot of different things that I'd never done before. I started volunteering to work with kids. I decided to go to graduate school. I applied to Harvard to go to graduate school and ended up going there. So it became the catalyst for so many different things, for better relationships, with my family and friends. I guess that's it. But I'm still learning from that experience, and I have a feeling I'm going to be learning from this experience for a long, long time.